I recently conducted an inaugural webinar on my habit formation and deepening framework, the Presence, Emotion, and Prosperity, or PEP framework. One of the key concepts that found a bit of resonance with the participants was that of multipliers. Now, what was mentioned were zero multipliers. I didn't actually have anything prepared in the deck, in the presentation, on multipliers, but I realized it was quite important for some people, and therefore I decided to make this very brief, hopefully, recording that tries to illustrate and explain the multipliers in general, and then specifically the frameworks that one can use to try and mitigate adverse impacts of multipliers that are, you know, adverse, and effectively enhance those that are positive. We've heard people like James Clear, the late and great Chalamanga, Ray Dalio, Peter Drucker, and BJ Fogg allude to the idea of removing negative habits before you can stack on good ones. Now, at some point, we'll speak to habit stacking, but for now, we're just chatting about multipliers. Okay, so I'm hoping that you're not going to get scared when we start talking a bit about math. But if you know, if you think of self-development, self-development is a function of managing yourself. I mean, people will speak to self-discipline. They'll speak about having a very organized way of managing your life so that you can create improvements in it. And generally, overall progress is a function of multiplying the habits that you have with each other. So a very lovely image is if you are thinking about being healthy, you probably need to focus on four things. You need to focus on gym, hydration, good nutrition, and sleep. Most of us typically struggle with sleep, which typically creates a virtuous cycle of poor sleep, which leads to stress, which then negates all of the great work that you want does with good habits in terms of good eating, you know, keeping oneself physically healthy, etc. So if you think of the overall progress being that formula of, you know, habit one times habit two times habit three and so on and so forth, you get to realize that because habits are multiplicative, if you happen to multiply with a negative number in terms of the habit, if you have a negative habit, it then negates all of the positive impacts of the other habits. If you have a habit that is a zero multiplier, it can completely just nullify all of the work that you're doing with the other habits. So if one habit is times zero, your output is zero. If all the habits, or if at least one habit is 0.5, you move very slowly. Yes, you make progress, but you move fairly slowly. If some are, you know, maybe 1.5 and others are 0.7. Now you're in a tug of war because there are those, you know, the 0.7s are going to make you move slowly, whereas the 1.5s are going to make you move fast. So you now are torn between, you know, moving fast and moving slow. But if you are sitting at times 2 and over, you start this flywheel to your growth. So what becomes clear fairly quickly is you really want to avoid those that either negative multipliers or zero multipliers, or those that create in your tug of war, so that you can get to the flywheel of your growth, that which just keeps happening by itself and making your life feel like magic. So this is a powerful realization for me. And I mean, clearly, if we do it well and consistently, there will be positive repercussions. Obviously, if you do the inverse and you have negative or zero multipliers, then the outcomes are negative. So, I mean, I'm gonna attach the table here that shows what I'm gonna talk about next. But a zero multiplier cancels out all progress, no matter how strong the other habits are. So the effect on progress is progress collapses. And the examples would be things like smoking and chronic stress and unethical behavior. If you smoke but you go to gym, or if you're chronically stressed but you go to gym and you eat well, you are likely to have, your progress collapsing as a function of those particular things. Negative multipliers, on the other hand, they actually reverse your progress. So they create backward momentum or damage, and therefore progress is reversed. And the examples of this are things like self-sabotage, toxic relationships, and financial fraud. Fractional multipliers, the 0.7 we spoke about earlier, they slow down your progress significantly. You still move, but it's inefficient. So your progress is quite slow, but it's progress all the same. At the very least, you're no longer going backwards, you're no longer standing still. You're moving, just moving slowly. So things like poor time management, poor prioritization, a lack of focus work periods, having distractions and trying to multitask, an absence or lack of clarity can create this very slow progress. A neutral multiply, which is a times one, it doesn't help, doesn't harm, just keeps you standing still. So now here you're talking about having a plateau. So you repeat comfortable but low impact routines. So you learn, but it's like shallow learning. It's not anything to write home about. Positive multipliers, that's where you're kind of looking at, that are below two. You're looking at 1.1 to 1.9 times in terms of the habit multiplication. It's incremental improvement. It starts compounding over time. You start getting to feel the benefit of, the proverbial going to gym consistently, or journaling consistently, or gratitude consistently, or weekly reflection consistently. And it's great. It's slow, but it's steady. The moment you start having greater than two in terms of these multipliers, now you start having high leverage habits that amplify results across all domains. This is rapid compounding. And usually this comes from when you've taken the time to do deep work, to understand yourself, to understand your motivations, to sit with your feelings, to sit with a lot of who you are. It starts multiplying rapidly. Strategic networking does the same. Good sleep. I cannot stress this more. I mean, good sleep is key. It's amazing what good sleep does. It improves your cognition. You just feel rested. It's the same thing as, for example, starting to take supplements for food, but those types of supplements that just make sure that you operate at the best capacity. I mean, one of the things, videos I saw recently spoke about what happens when you make sure that you've got omega-3, vitamin D3, magnesium, and zinc. And inadvertently, because most things are actually multipliers of each other, You need all four of these things for you to optimize your system, your physical system. And I mean, once again, this is one of those things you either can look up or at some point we might speak to, especially when we speak in greater detail about health. Then you've got exponential multipliers. Now, these are the best ones. These are nonlinear amplifiers, where one habit triggers cascading positive effects. I always like to call these emergent effects. And usually stuff starts looking like magic. I mean, these are transformational habits. These shift who you are, they shift your identity. I mean, we know that effectively your thoughts, if well managed, will influence your actions, your habits inadvertently. And your habits will create the character that you become. So if you are doing something that is magnifying you, your identity will shift. If you go from eating poorly and just being unhealthy and drinking a lot to doing none of those things, you'll start experiencing a transformation. And quite quickly, effectively, because the body heals in an exponential manner. And when you start doing things that are positive and you remove those that are negative, that damage the body, you start experiencing amazing identity shifts. I mean, people claim they feel better, they think better, their emotional state is better. So this is where you have mindset breakthroughs, spiritual awakenings, and the type of leadership visioning that applies in leadership coaching. So as you can see, these multipliers are great. They are very, very interesting. But the intention is to make sure that you get the pathway from negative multipliers, removing zero multipliers, to starting to have multipliers greater than one. That's the sort of the key zone that you aim for. That's where you find flow. So if you think about zero multipliers, because this is actually what started this whole thing, and part of what I'd like to share, and maybe, something that can make a positive impact and clean up in a very clear and considered way how we do what we do, is to focus a bit more on zero multipliers. So as stated previously, they cancel all progress, no matter the strength and positivity of all any of the other habits. And I think we've sort of done the math to show that if you doing healthy eating, exercising, you're sleeping well, but you're subjected to like chronic work stress. That chronic work stress ends up being a zero multiplier, and therefore, all of that great work doesn't really yield the transformative outcomes that it should. I mean, a friend of mine recently told me that because of the stress, she felt like her brain was being stabbed. A scary thought. So if you zoom in on the different example that can typify zero multipliers in different domains, because really this is what we're trying to work towards with the PEP framework and generally at KD Chronicles, the idea of balance, the idea that yes, whilst it's important to focus on what you need to do to make a living, to nurture your family, etc., you do need to create balance, because if you're imbalanced, you're gonna end up being like those guys that skip leg day. And they say never skip leg day. So the problem with, or the challenge with zero multipliers, is they're innocuous, they're sneaky, they're everywhere around us, but they're innocuous. You will not actually pick up that your brain is tricking you. Your brain can be the one that justifies the presence of those multipliers. And frameworks are very important in making sure that you can identify multipliers, that are negative or zero, in this case, zero multipliers, and deal with them. So if we speak of the different domains and their zero multipliers and why they're dangerous, in the health domain, something like smoking or excessive drinking is terrible. It's dangerous because it cancels out exercise, good diet, and effectively causes long-term damage, we know, to things like to organs like the pancreas, the liver, and the lungs, which then creates a terrible environment of poor quality of life. Sleep is one of the more dangerous and innocuous and sneaky ones. Like chronic sleep deprivation, it impairs cognition, your mood, your metabolism, and your immunity. And lots of research work has been done to make sure that this actually is true. And once again, if you think about the impact or the reason why we sleep, just quickly, it's about your cerebrospinal fluid that comes and effectively washes your brain while you sleep. So the longer you sleep, the deeper you sleep, the more of this cleaning that occurs, I mean, in your brain, which then, leaves you waking up feeling invigorated and clear and crisp. In the mental domain, toxic relationships, they just weigh on you. They're just there all the time, being negative. And constant stress, like is created by this. And this constant stress, as mentioned before, it affects your mental and physical health. That's not helpful. When it comes to work and productivity, burnout, as in working without recovery, it just creates your creativity and doesn't make you enjoy your work, and your output typically is a bit spotty. You end up not necessarily progressing as well as you should in whatever domain you're in. Time management, if you don't prioritize well, or are constantly on YouTube or are constantly on the socials, no matter what systems you've got, those systems are wasted if your focus is missing. Your mindset. Now, golfers will tell you about this. And actually, even just generally, apex elite athletes will tell you about mindset. Mindset is linked a bit to an emotional state where if you chronically negatively self-talk or self-sabotage, you just don't have the confidence. You don't have the ability to adhere to long-term habits. And I mean, as said before, that's terrible. You don't want that. You actually want to be able to adhere to the things that you set for yourselves, the goals that you set for yourselves, and the pathways there, so that you can keep progressing, keep moving forward. Then on ethics, I mean, dishonesty, especially for leaders, it just teams don't trust you if you are dishonest. And people can figure you out. People can sense that there's something that's a little bit, not right with this leader. So libraries are full of books, by great authors who basically say the same thing. They say, put the ha bad habits down, put the zero multipliers down before you can put on the nice ones, the good ones, the ones that are going to create exponentiality eventually in your life. Peter Drucker in The Effective Executive says, cut off what does not work, just very simply. Just remove the chaff. Ray Dalio in Principles also shares what is a radical truth. Track, and this is an important part for me from an accountability perspective, track and fix your blind spots on errors. Those things can be zero multipliers in decision making. Now, my favorite one comes from Chalimunga. Chalimunga has a lovely quote, and it was relating to the inversion mental model and generally avoiding stupidity. It says, "It's remarkable how much long-term advantage people like us have gotten by trying to consistently not be stupid." So, I mean, and I can rattle off quite a few books, and generally insights from either podcasts, etc., that say the same thing. So how do we help ourselves remove that which creates this strange hamster wheel of ineffectiveness that effectively ends up just erasing everything? Once again, if you go back to what James Clear said in Atomic Habits, he says, you do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. For me, this means frameworks are key. In one of my previous companies, one of the things an incoming business development executive, what he said was, when you are unclear about what to do, your values will provide your true north. Now that's quite important, because you replace habits or frameworks, you substitute those into values in that sentence or in that quote. It completely applies. So if you don't have good values, you won't know where to go when things are going a bit pear-shaped. So I'll share two frameworks as a parting shot. And the intention of these is, one, the first one identifies your zero multipliers. And then the second one assists with intentionality in incrementally moving from negative or zero multipliers towards an exponentiality. The cancel framework, and written or spelled C-A-N-C-E-L, it looks to guide you into a position of self-reflection and self-awareness. So you can actually identify those zero multipliers. Now, it does require that you be completely vulnerable with yourself. It also requires that you give yourself a bit of grace and empathy. And it will feel uncomfortable. It'll suck. But if it does, it does mean it's working. After all, growth occurs at the bleeding edge of pain. So if we take the letters individually, so C stands for chronicity. So what do you look for there? Is this issue persistent over time? Am I continuously struggling to sleep well? Am I continuously bleak at my friends, my family, my acquaintances, people in my network, or even strangers for that matter, you see on TV, for their success? So are you resentful? Or are you avoidant? Are you just not dealing with stuff? There's stuff that is very clear that it needs dealing with, and you just don't deal with it. So, I mean, for this, it would be helpful to sit and actually just write down, really, what are those persistent issues? And be kind to yourself, but also be blunt with yourself. There's nobody else who's looking but you. A in cancel stands for asymmetry. Does the damage from this habit outweigh the benefit of other good ones? And once again, once you've written them down, you can see which area they, or which domain they belong to. And if you look at, we do like the health one because it's quite common and straightforward. If you look at the four habits in sort of healthy living, if you're doing everything but you smoke, if you're eating well, you're hydrating, you're training, you're even sleeping well, but you smoke, it might not feel so terrible at the time. But as a, I'm not a non-smoker, but an ex-smoker. As an ex-smoker, I remember why I stopped smoking. It wasn't really because of the damage it was doing at the time. The awareness of that damage is quite marginal in most people's eyes. It was because I couldn't breathe to the bottom of my lungs, and it was one of the most annoying things for an active person when you're trying to breathe, like, and then your breathing is shallow. You get tired quickly, and you're training as much as you can, and you're just not going anywhere. So is it creating an asymmetry, this habit that negates all of the other ones? Negation. This is the N in cancel. Does it nullify other positive habits? So let's say you eat clean, you eat well, but you binge drink. And those things are kind of sitting at opposite ends of each other. Because as much as you're eating well, if you binge drink, you are imbibing a bunch of empty calories. And unfortunately, by its very nature, drinking lowers your inhibition. So you really can get into it. And you'll wonder why you're not losing weight or you're not, gaining the muscle that you should be gaining, etc. And I mean, as another, as a just a throwaway comment, one of the most terrible things about things like heavy drinking, and the reason why it negates weight loss, as an example, is your liver, much like every part of your body, has a capacity issue. So if you give it, something poisonous that it needs to break down versus something nutritional, it'll prioritize the poisonous thing because the poisonous thing obviously has an adverse long-term effect. So it will prioritize the breaking down of liquor and not prioritize the breaking down of nutritional foods, and therefore they end up being stored, obviously, as fat, which then negates what we're talking about. Now, the C, the next C in cancel is there a cost to this habit? Is there an emotional or a relational or financial cost to this habit that's too high to ignore? And I mean, those, we know about those. I mean, excessive drinking might lead to emotional challenges, or relational challenges or financial challenges. You might end up fighting with your spouse. You might end up, not necessarily wanting to engage people because, all that you want to do is drink. And it might cost you actual money to purchase the alcohol and also make you ineffective at work by having you not reach your full potential. Then there's E in cancel, which stands for evasiveness. How do you rationalize this? How do you let the sneaky brain tell you that this is okay? It gives you an excuse. And then finally, the L. So this is the part that is quite important, your loss of leverage. Does this prevent you from leveraging your strengths? Does it make you not have, for example, the right mental capacity and acuity that would allow for you to efficiently deploy your monies, whatever monies you might have, into investment? That's important. Now, I'll share these, hopefully in document form as well, so that you can see what it looks like. But once you've identified that which hinders your long-term growth, you must get on the zero to hero ladder. Now, what's the zero to hero ladder, you ask? Check this out. So the zero to hero ladder has stages, and so we'll speak about the stages where you focus, the description of what you're focusing on, and the question you should ask yourself. So stage zero is eliminate. Remember, that's the first thing that we said. Just get rid of nonsense, man. Get rid of the stuff that's making you go backwards or stand still. What's erasing all your effort? What's one thing, if removed, would immediately improve your life? Think about that. Stage one, you focus on reducing. So what do we need to minimize? I mean, changing habits is quite hard. So it is recommended that you don't do it in a manner that ends up being unsustainable. So the question you might ask yourself is, where are you leaking energy or focus every day? Before you sleep, do you end up going on YouTube or on any of the, excuse me, streaming sites and sitting there and therefore not having a normal routine for sleep? And therefore you end up leaking the capacity or the energy or focus on sleep every day. Then the next step, which is stage two, you neutralize. You replace what is harmful with just something neutral. So what could you do instead that doesn't harm progress? So let's hypothetically speak about sleep again. If you were to replace YouTube with a book, would that maybe improve your prospects? Would that improve the habits, the positivity of your habits, and therefore the multiplicative force of the habits that you engage in? Stage three is about positive ads. Now we've eliminated, we've reduced, we've neutralized. Now we are stacking. Let's add complementary habits. If I know what my goals are, if I can identify habits that support my goal, and if I can engage in behavior that is defined or determined by those habits to support your current goals and values, then I'm making progress. So the question to ask, what behavior supports your current goals and values? Then finally, your compound. You're now no longer building individual habits, but you're building routines that stack on each other. You know, if, for example, you're trying to be lean and strong and you don't want to do damage to your joints, or you don't really want to do heavy weights, or you don't want to end up being bulky and bulgy, you alternate between cycling or spinning on one day and on the next, swimming. We know cycling burns a lot of calories, it removes, you know, the water retained, and it's great for leaning you out. It's great for your legs as well, and great for your posture and your core. Swimming, on the other hand, is a no-impact endeavor or exercise, and you are getting feedback and pushback from all sides of your body, and you're working every muscle group. So the question in this particular area, in this stage four, where you compound by building stackable routines, is what system or rhythm can I build around these new habits that I've kind of taken? So, I mean, what we're talking about, they're like a cheat code. If you follow these, you might actually have a reasonably good go at having a life that you really would like to lead going forward and enjoy. And since we've also got our own PEP framework, these insights can be related to it. So if we look at the presence, for example, the presence pillar, a zero multiplier there is ignoring your physical health. Now, presence is about how you show up in the world. People don't know you, and if you show up in a certain way, they make assumptions or assertions about you. So you end up having unintended consequences in your life if you are ignoring your physical health. A fractional multiplier is inconsistent meditation. So you meditate, but you meditate once every 4 days, and therefore that stacking of experiences or benefits of meditation just end up being lost. A positive multiplier is daily mindfulness. Now that's basically just engaging in things like reflective journaling, or gratitude journaling on a daily basis. And then exponential multiplier is a deep embodiment of, or, you know, spiritual clarity, right? So you end up, you know, being a person whose presence deeply comes from inside themselves, and there's a clarity about who they are, their values, etc. Emotions also have the same type of trajectory in terms of, you know, the PEP framework. So the emotion pillar, a zero multiplier, there could be toxic intimate relationships. GBV, etc. Fractional multipliers is like being vague in your communication, creating or leaving optionality and creating uncertainty in the other party. Positive multipliers in emotion are like regular check-ins, making sure that you're intentional with how you engage with your loved ones. And then exponential multipliers. And to me, this is actually a bit more like a negation of negative multipliers. But you when you heal your family traumas by engaging with them or engaging them and doing the deep work that changes your life and makes for exponential multiplication. You know, if you can change the generational mindsets where, you know, people just consume until they die in their own lifetime and leave nothing generationally, that is something, if dealt with, can create an exponential multiplier well into the future. Prosperity, the last P of the PEP framework, a zero multiplier, there's financial recklessness. A fractional multiplier is, you know, like just being shallow about skill stacking. A positive multiplier is, you know, when you actually just sit and you learn and you stack the knowledge on top of, you know, knowledge, and you end up with this compounded effect. You know, I think Charlie Munger used to talk about a lattice of mental models, where you end up with a lattice of just, you know, some of the top 80 mental models that can help you understand and see the world better. And then the exponential one in the prosperity pillar is when you can build big, scalable ventures, and you can start playing the wealth game quite well. So in conclusion, you know, intentional progress, it depends on the effort you put into your life. Our efforts as humans are just finite. Our energies are finite. Lattices or frameworks that help us optimize outputs we get out of our efforts, they improve the odds of us living our preferred lives. Our individual journeys as humans have the same destination, morbidly, death. However, in the space between birth and death lives our chance at experiencing the wonder and the splendor of being alive. It might be helpful to balance our destination-focused thinking with wonder and curiosity and the emergent surprise of who we become as we journey to our graves. After all, what we find changes who we become.